Good afternoon and welcome to today's Community and Regional Affairs hearing. With me today is Senator Menard and Senator Wagner. On today's agenda, we only have one bill. That's Senate Bill 223, which is a tax credit related to homeless shelters and detoxification. We've got Mr. Dave Scott here is going to introduce the bill. We'll have some public testimony. We'll set it aside for further review. Mr. Scott, if you'd go ahead and identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Scott, staff to Senator Olson, and aide to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. This bill before you would allow corporations to make a contribution to a nonprofit, an Alaskan nonprofit agency that provides an emergency shelter for the homeless or a facility for alcohol or and drug detox at up to $200,000 per year. Against the Alaska corporate income tax liability. The credit is non-refundable, it's not transferable, it can't be carried forward to a subsequent tax year, and the amount claimed as a credit cannot be used as a deduction in the calculation of their taxable income. The impetus for this Alaska there's lots of stats and statistics that don't shed a very good light on Alaska when it comes to domestic violence, when it comes to homelessness, chronic inebriates, and we're trying to find a way for the private industry to help supplant what these nonprofit service providers are having trouble to find good funding, I guess, just not good funding, but funding. We kind of looked at the educational tax credits that we have for the oil industry, for the mining industry, and we thought we could try to attach it to that, but there's no educational component to here, so we have to, instead of just adding to a section of the statute that already exists, we have to create a new one. I would also say, Mr. Chairman, that the bill is probably at about 90% there. We are not. We're still meeting and talking with a lot of service providers across the state, and we already have some ideas. One idea is that the contribution can only be used for a capital expense and not an operating expense. It's something that we'll think about. There may be virtues to it, and we'll look into it. One thing I'd like to point out to the committee is on page 2, lines starting line 3, it's section C, and if I could read it, it says, if a nonprofit organization receives a contribution that is the basis of a credit under this section request, and request an appropriation from the legislature, the request shall document the contribution received and how the contribution was used. We thought that that'd be a good it's just we thought that the legislature should know where that if it's just it's a good way to go. There are some members of the public and members of nonprofit agencies who provide these services online, and they will be able to offer some testimony, and we will be working on this bill the rest of this week and early next week, and I will be contacting your offices and let you know the ideas that we have floating around on this. With that, Mr. Chairman, I could answer any questions.
Do we have any questions of Mr. Scott by members of the committee? Senator Menard.
Just a compliment. I'm so grateful for this bill coming forward because the Mansu Borough has an extreme amount and have made tremendous steps of homeless. So there's a high percentage of homeless, and I know the person who is behind as an executive director that's really been working diligently, Michelle Overstreet. So I just want to go on record that she would be a great resource person for her. She's very bright. And her heart is in the right place, and like I said, for whatever reason, the Mansu has, per population of the valley, has the largest homeless. So very concerned about it. So this would be very helpful.
Senator Wagner.
Is there any inventory in the state of Alaska for what nonprofits offer. These type of services, for instance, for homeless people. I just think of my area, and there's three different organizations, maybe four different organizations there that offer services already for the homeless. So,
Mr. Scott, do you have a answer to the question?
Let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are we looking to perpetuate the number of nonprofits in the state by doing this bill? Because I'm not sure there's enough homeless people in the greater Kenai-Slobodan area to even keep those three or four nonprofits busy. I don't know. It just seems to me like every time we turn around, we're doing something to create more nonprofits, and the more we do that, the more we dilute what's available for them in some cases.
Mr. Scott, you have an answer to the question.
Through the chair, Senator Wagner, the first part of your question on an inventory, that's a very good question, and I'm trying to find that out right now, actually. I have hopefully I'm in the process of gathering all that information. And the second part of your, I guess, question is it's a very good point, and there are ways to amend a bill to say that a nonprofit that existed on this date forward only is only eligible, or if a community that doesn't have these kind of services, then an Alaskan company could form to do it. But I'm more than willing to consider language, and I think that's a great idea, because it's not, the intent is not to perpetuate or not to grow a
nonprofit field.
So nonprofits start springing up everywhere. It's those nonprofits that are providing a service now that may need help to expand. Some of them are really busting at the seams, some of these homes, and that's the intent. And if we could, if it's too broadly or too loosely written, I'm more than happy to look at language that would tighten it.
Let's see if Joanna Bales. Ms. Bales, are you on, ma'am? Is she on?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks for showing up this afternoon. Did you hear that? Does the Department of Revenue happen to have an answer to the question that Senator Wagner asked?
Through the chair, Senator Wagner, as far as the number of nonprofits and whether or not this would create more, that's my understanding of the question. Is that correct?
I was just wondering if there was an inventory statewide of nonprofits that provide these services. Because my fear is what we're going to do is put something into law that's going to generate additional nonprofits for the purpose of the $200,000
tax credit
contribution from corporations, and it's just going to create that much more competition among the already existing nonprofits, plus additional nonprofits that are formed.
Through the chair, Senator Wagner, we don't have data on the number of those types of nonprofits readily available. However, there is a resource on the IRS that will identify all the 501c3 corporations in Alaska, and we could take a look at that and assist with the bill sponsor on that. It is my understanding, though, that to obtain 501c3 designation is a fairly rigorous process. So whether or not this will entice someone to go through that process, I mean, it's anyone's guess, but I suppose it could be a possibility.
Follow up, Ms. Senator Wagner?
No.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just add the 4-acre group has quite intense, has done a really good job on identifying and working with nonprofits. So that's a resource company, too, that you can look into that I've used exclusively in my nonprofit days.
Okay. Any further questions, Mr. Scott, by members of the committee? If not, I got a couple questions there. Mr. Scott, as far as the income tax credit, is it going to affect the federal tax credit as well, or income tax? Are you just dealing with state income tax?
Mr. Chairman, it's only the state income tax. As I read the bill and as I understand it and as I asked it to be drafted.
Okay. And I'm sorry, Senator Wagner.
Yeah, I'm a little confused now. State income tax, state corporate tax.
Corporate income tax.
Corporate income tax.
Okay, it's corporate.
We start with state income tax again.
And then are there any other states that offer this type of incentive to go ahead and have a taxless, some kind of emergency shelter for these people?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that answer to that question, but I could get that.
Okay.
That answered before the next, if we hear this again.
And as I read the title, it says providing emergency shelter for homeless and or a facility. I'm assuming that the emergency shelter includes not just the homeless, but also victims of domestic violence.
Yeah, that's correct, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding that if there's an issue of domestic violence and somebody has to leave where their home, they are considered homeless.
Okay.
And it's we don't just want a homeless shelters. We also want the only example I could think of is in Ketchikan, we have a place called Wish, and it's called Women in Safe Homes, and it's where the women. We also have a homeless shelter in Ketchikan too, but there's a place where the women who are have been, I don't know if they're right, battered. I don't want to sound crass, but who needed to leave the situation they were in, and they are considered homeless. And as it's my understanding that Wish is considered a homeless shelter as well.
Okay. Any further questions of Mr. Scott by members of the committee? If not, we'll go to public testimony. The first one we have on the list is Denise Amarok Oliver. Ms. Amarok Oliver, are you on, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Please.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear. Go ahead and identify yourself for the record, who you're associated with, and then go ahead with your person.
My name is Denise Amarok Oliver, and I work at the Known Emergency Shelter. I've been working there since October. I'm actually a recovering alcoholic myself. The people that we help, we've gone through training with, basic CPR and first aid and symptoms of withdrawal and seizures and people aspirating. And the simple fact of the matter is there are people that are dying. And as a person to see that, I feel like I'm failing to render assistance to somebody that, can potentially die. And, I mean, it's only human nature to help somebody in that situation. And alcoholism is considered, a disease. And I know so many people now that have, overcome alcoholism, and they're living lives that are incredible in their contributing back to society and giving. And if they're given an opportunity to do something that's different, that'll change their thinking and their behaviors, they'll be able to, succeed. There are people that, don't know another life. They've been living this life for so long, they think there's nothing else out there when, the world could be open to them. And any financial support, would benefit our region in particular, because for the Bering Straits region, we do not have a treatment center available. So when, say, a child gets taken away from their parents from OCS, and the parents are required to go to treatment, they're sent out of the region. They're sent to, you know, Anchorage or Kotzebue, and they have, you know, very little contact with their children during that time. And I mean, the need is just tremendous. A lot of the crimes or, you know, Title 47s are due to alcohol. And I know now that we have the Nest shelter up and running, there aren't as many people going into the hospital to the emergency room, and there are fewer people that are going out to the jail. So in a way, the shelter is actually saving the state money by keeping the people in the shelter instead of the hospital or the prison.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for all the work you do out there at Nest, and I appreciate your testimony this afternoon. Next, we have Sue Steinecker. Ms. Steinecker, are you on, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead and identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Excuse me. My name is Sue Steinecker, and I'm a former volunteer, former board member, and current director of the Nome Emergency Shelter Team, or NEST, which is where Denise works for us as a night shift monitor. And I can give you a little bit more of the stats. She can certainly speak to the emotional component. But our organization formed in the spring. It didn't even form as an organization. We started in the spring of 2009. Nome had been seeing one or two alcohol-related cold weather exposure deaths every winter. And something snapped in a small group of people in the spring of 2009 when one of our chronic homeless inebriates froze to death. And we started with an entirely volunteer base. A church donated some space. And we were able to round up enough volunteers to put two people per shift, two shifts a night. Any night it got to 10 below zero or colder. And we finished out the spring, and then we started again the same way, and we ran the entire next winter this way. No funding whatsoever. And we were open about 80 nights and served over 70 people that winter, and nobody died. It was a phenomenal volunteer effort, but it was an exhausting volunteer effort, and it was not sustainable. Then we just started to learn a little bit more about funding opportunities, and a grant gave us the opportunity to at least hire paid monitors during the work week, and again, spent the next winter using then just volunteers on the weekend. Again, zero deaths. A second grant, plus some significant local donations, has allowed us to be open every night this winter. We opened early because of a huge fall storm, and then reopened November 15th. Since that time, we have had I just looked at the attendance records. We have had 123 different individuals take advantage of our emergency shelter, and I would say 98 to 99% of them are seriously inebriated when they come in. Now some of our people are chronic homeless, so we have a core group that are there every night. We have others who are coming in from the region, and from the villages without a place to stay. Sometimes it's actually a local person who's had too much to drink to where they're not allowed back in their home because of the disruption that causes to the family. And so as of November 15th, we have filled 1,030 beds. in our town of 3,500. And to keep it in proportion to other areas, Nome is 3,500. Anchorage is approximately 350,000. One to two deaths a winter in Nome is the equivalent of 100 to 200 deaths, or would be the equivalent to 100 to 200 deaths due to alcohol exposure, cold weather exposure in Anchorage. Our 12 chronic homeless inebriates in Nome would equal 1,200 in Anchorage. I personally feel we have a very significant problem that we are, as a community, working to address, and that it has, we've gotten large donations from the hospital. We have gotten an elder from St. Lawrence Island who sent us a tenth of his paycheck because he believed in what we were doing. So we've had very widespread support. People who drop off a bag full of zucchini bread for the night. We've had, you know, a tremendous amount of donated foods. Most, even though we were able to hire a contract cook this winter, most of the meats and fish are all donated locally. I guess my point is that not only have we not lost a single life to cold weather alcohol related exposure since the shelter opened. Nonetheless, we still feel like we are a Band-Aid to a bigger problem. And it sort of astounds me. I can't help but wonder if per capita, if Nome isn't the alcoholic capital of Alaska, and yet we have no residential or intensive treatment programs available. And currently, the Behavioral Health Services is seeking funding to create such a program, and we would like to be under their roof should this happen. But it is true, as Denise said, that, I mean, at first it seemed to me like, my goodness, we're spending a lot of money. But when you look at the savings of what we, and we hear it all the time from the hospital, how much pressure we have taken off of the ER and how much money that's saving. The police work cooperatively with us. They bring people to us. This saves on the Title 47 holds and the incarceration costs. Oh. And, you know, I just think that we have a huge need here, and that this approach for raising additional funds is just a tremendous one. I would like to stress that we need operating expenses. Capital expenses only, I mean, we're not even our own structure. We continue to lease space from a church where we pay for the added expense on their utilities and wear and tear. And in a small community, you really can't support your own building. You really need operating expenses so that you can partner with someone else who's got a big building that they're not using all the time. The other thing I'd like to say is that the idea of not funding a nonprofit until they have a track record makes it really difficult for small communities who really want to do something to get started. Not every community can muster the level of volunteer support that Nome mustered for this, and it's really been quite extraordinary. I know of a woman down in Hoonah, that's a community of 500 people, and they want to create some kind of a shelter there, and, you know, this is a group that you kind of need startup funds. And some of the grants we've been able to get only pay for direct services. But you can't run a nonprofit sustainably unless you're able to pay a director position, someone who's going to do the grant writing and the fundraising and everything else. And so we're very, very dependent on our discretionary funds that we receive. And yet, you know, we live year to year. We will be open 5 months this winter. If we don't get one of the two grants we've applied for, we're back to 10 below zero or colder. And, again, we are an adult emergency shelter, and we make it clear we accept everyone. And that means that most of our clients, like I say, 98, 99%, are there because of alcohol. I would like to add, and I suspect this is true in a lot of other rural communities, but Nome has a huge housing crisis right now, to the point where we've had families with kids come to the shelter, and we've had to say, we can't take you. We can't bring your kids into this environment, but we also can't leave you on the street. And so we have used our discretionary funds, and we have rented people hotel rooms for several weeks to a month till they've either realized they can't find a place in Nome and leave, or actually finally do find something. But our planning commission has said that currently, to meet Nome's current need, we need 192 more units. And it's becoming, we have professionals that can't find housing. We have working poor, particularly Native families who can't find housing. And so there's a whole nother crisis here as well that contributes also to a non-alcohol related homeless problem that is growing steadily in our community.
Ms. Steinecker, just for the record, you're in favor of the bill then?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very
absolutely
much.
Absolutely, but I wanted to include operating
sure
expenses.
Thank you very much for the good job that you do, and congratulations on no more deaths after the one froze to death a couple of years ago.
Thank you. I just hope that I can impress upon people that I know that this problem exists in many other communities, and we've been maybe we're leading the way, but there is hardly a surplus of nonprofits out here addressing this need, and I know it is great in all these communities out here.
Okay. Next.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next we have Loretta Bullard. Ms. Bullard, are you on, ma'am?
Good afternoon, members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. My name is Loretta Bullard, and I'm president of CLERC, which is located in Nome. We're a regional nonprofit that provides services to the Bering Straits region. And I'm here today to say that I support this Senate Bill 223, the tax credit for contributions to homeless shelters and DTAC facilities. Sue Steinecker has already spoken to the Nest shelter that we have here in Nome, and so I won't speak to that except to say that I think that it's a much-needed service. It's extremely difficult to find funds, continuing funds, to support those kinds of services. And, you know, I support this bill because I feel that certainly our various village corporations, regional profit corporations, and other for-profit entities would be willing to make larger contributions to support these types of services if they were given an opportunity for a tax credit. In terms of detox, that was also spoken to briefly here. I think it was like a couple years ago, Norton Sound Health Corporation kind of ran their records on the Title 47 holds that, you know, when people are inebriated in public such that folks are concerned about them, they take them to the hospital. I mean, that was always the solution. And then the hospital is faced with having to, you know, keep them until they're sober enough such that you don't have to worry about them freezing to death. I think at that time, there was about 860 Title 47 holds at Norton Sound Health Corporation, which the police would have to bring there. So there's significant cost to the City of Nome Police Department as well as the hospital in dealing with individuals that are Title 47 holds. In terms of and basically the emergency room has served as the detox facility for this entire region. Which is not a solution. And I think it was probably about 10 or 12 years ago, our inpatient alcohol treatment facility was shut down because there wasn't enough grant funding to keep it open. But it's a huge need in this region, as I'm sure in the other sub-regional centers. And I think that this bill, if enacted, would provide an opportunity for contributions to those nonprofits that provide those services such that you know, if the monies that they contribute could help provide these services as well as help with capital costs of providing those services. And so I'm fully in support of this this bill, and I encourage this committee to pass it out and urge a due pass. Thank you.
Ms. Bullard, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Next we have Bonnie Hahn. Ms. Hahn, are you on, ma'am?
Hello?
Yeah, Bonnie Hunt, go ahead and identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Okay, I'm Bonnie Hunt from NOAM. I'm the manager of the NEST program here in NOAM, and I have been in that position for 3 years. And it's hard to, I mean, everybody, Denise and Sue Steinecker have covered the whole gamut of what we need here in NOAM, so I won't speak to that because it's already been covered, but we deal with inebriates anywhere from zero to comatose every night, and we have I have a good staff of six monitors who really have been totally helpful in the situation, and we sometimes, you know, when we dealt 2 years with no funding at all, we scraped the barrel trying to find enough money and food for everybody. But now that we have a little bit of funding, we are doing much better. And I've had several of our core group who have come to me and said, I'm getting fat. And we do have food that they've never had before. So, you know, we feed them supper and we feed them breakfast. And they really have come a long way in that. So we deal with these people every night. What we really need here in NOAM is a wellness center, which they're working on, I know, to try and find one, trying to get money for one. And our population is, our neighbor population is really in need of something more than just what we can provide them. Anything that we can do to help would be great. I won't cover any of the other things because everybody's covered it. But I am supportive of this bill 100%. Anything we can do to get this situation under control would be great for the city of NOAM. And I hope that this bill can provide some help for us and we can continue on our work. We'd like to have be more open than 5 months out of the year, but that's what we can do now. And everybody is appreciated. The people that I have every night, they tell me thank you every single time they get there. They're thanking you all the time. They really appreciate the help they get. We do have some members that have gone ahead and been able to get jobs for themselves, and there's one or two that have been able to actually save up enough money to get a shelter of their own. And we push them along that line as much as we can. There's three or four of them that have part-time jobs, but there again, they've got the money and they don't use it in the way they should. But at least they're working and they're trying. So we're hoping that we can get more help, which is very needed. And I support the bill 100%. So that's my testimony. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the good job that you do. And one of the questions I did have was, what is their operating cost per year, so we can kind of put that in perspective?
Are you asking me?
Yes, if you know what it is. If you know what it is.
No, I don't. I don't deal with the money situation at all. It would be Sue Steinecker who deals with that. And if she's still on the line, she could probably answer you then. I don't have any idea.
Okay.
I don't deal with any of the monetary.
Senator Wagner has a question or a comment for you.
Mrs. Hahn, you wouldn't be related to a young man named Dr. Hahn, would you, that lives in Homer?
Well, I think of his mother.
He's my doctor. He's a very good one. Just thought you'd like to know
that. And what's your name?
Tom Wagner.
Oh, fine. Okay.
I'm the gentleman that used to own the clinic there in Kenai that he owns now.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he does. Well, thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome. He's a very nice young man.
Yeah, well, yeah, he'd better be, or he has me to answer to.
Well, it's nice to meet you. It's not very personal this way.
Ms. Steinecker, are you on, ma'am?
I am, and I did hear the request, and I wish I was perfect with, I wish I had those exact numbers right in my head. But I think that for this 5 months that we're open, we're looking at a budget of about $150,000.
Okay.
And we pay the church a little over $2,100 a month in heat and utilities. And again, we've got extremely high expenses here. my position's a quarter-time position. Nobody has a full-time position. Nobody's 40 hours a week, and nobody's all year round. One thing I like about this, though, is that I'm always impressed with the number of applicants that we receive for these monitor positions that are late night, you know, 9 o'clock at night till 3 in the morning or 3 in the morning till 9 in the morning, dealing with sometimes seriously inebriated, combative, not always, but sometimes combative people, that we've had great retention and that I'm so pleased that we have provided jobs for folks who are not otherwise fitting into the standard working situation here in Nome.
Okay.
So I hope that I'm happy to go into more detail, but that's largely what our situation is.
Okay, thank you very
much. And we are still relying a lot on donated food, but you know, costs here are so much higher than Anchorage.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Any further questions of members of the people that testified? If not, we'll close public testimony if there's nobody else to testify. And thank you, Appanon, for coming out.
Oh, am I able to add anything?
Oh, for sure.
Quickly?
Sure.
All I wanted to say is that you're not hearing from a lot of other communities, not because they don't have a similar problem. It's that they haven't yet figured out how to even begin to organize to address the problem. So that I suspect, you know, if we can share our experience and help get other groups doing what Nest is doing in Nome, you'd be hearing from a lot more organizations.
Sure.
Or at least a lot more communities and villages and hubs.
Well, that's part of the genius that comes out of Nome, so we take it as that. Thank you, everybody, for coming out this afternoon. Any closing comments, Mr. Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Only thing is that we'll take into consideration everybody's questions, and hopefully we'll have a CS that we can put forward that works for everybody. And we'll be floating that around to the offices hopefully by Tuesday or early Wednesday next week.
Any further questions of Mr. Scott by members of the committee? Not, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. I want to point out that we're not going to be meeting next Tuesday. We will meet on Thursday, and by that time we should have a committee substitute coming out on this bill. With that, we're adjourned.